There you go. Yeah. I have all kinds of music for Emily Miller and have to dig it out on Wednesday afternoons. Hi, Emily. How are you?
I don't like the hippie music.
Yeah, I know, I know. But I just couldn't resist. Hey, listen, I'm holding here a little blurb from Business Insider. It says, here are the only pundits you need to pay attention to between now and the election. And they list the top 50. And who do I see on that list but Emily Miller?
I was quite surprised and very flattered to be on that list. They said they needed to have a conservative.
<That's> Well, they got one, that's for sure.
I'm their token.
Yep. That's wonderful.
A conservative in touch with, I think, the American right.
That's pretty cool. All right, your column, Nancy Pelosi's Office Without a View, that that rings not only with Nancy Pelosi but with a lot of Democrats, right?
Well, her office change was probably the worst. Yeah. We're just talking about the headline of my piece. You know, she had the speaker's office, which I don't know if you've ever been on the speaker's balcony. It's just the most beautiful place in Washington.
Sure.
It overlooks the National Mall, and the speaker's office actually overlooks the balcony, overlooks the mall, so you just look out, and you see all the monuments. It's beautiful. And so last January when, you know, she had to give up the gavel, which is what we always see on TV, but behind the scenes, she also had to, like, trek all her stuff over, and she's now on the opposite side, on the east side, same floor, but in a cramped little office, you know, very narrow hallway. Forget all the big wide space and the flags and the guards and the three floors. No, that's all gone. And her view is the back, so it's a big parking lot and the visitor center. So
well,
you know, really look hard, you'd see the Supreme Court, but it's really not what you're overlooking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it always sort of bemused me that she had to move across the hall and is on that side after having, you know, the posh digs. Mm. But the point of my editorial is that now that Barney Frank is out the door and another eight Democrats, senior Democrats, are retiring this year, eight more, 17 total are leaving, nine are retiring, eight are running for higher office. But on the Republican side, absolutely none are retiring. Some are running for higher office, but none are leaving. And I think it's very clear that the reason that Barney Frank and friends are leaving is because they know they're not going to be in the majority next year, and they don't want to stick around in the minority in a year in the bad offices, and really they can't get anything done. I mean, when you're in the minority, you're kind of have no purpose other than, you know, yell and scream from the back benches.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Barney Frank yesterday gave this big press conference explaining why he was leaving, and he had a long, convoluted reason about his district got changed, and he has to meet all these new people, and he has to learn about all kinds of new issues, and it'll take a lot out of him, and he's in his 70s, and he wants to retire by the time he's 75, and there was a lot of reasons, but, you know, I would say that the number one reason is he's the number two, and I talked to Peter Roskam, who's the chief deputy whip, so one of the members of leadership, and he said, you know, obviously if Barney Frank and other senior Democrats who are ranking on the premier committees in the House thought they'd be in the majority next year, they'd be staying.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I saw a montage last night of Barney Frank as a committee chair, I guess it was the House Financial Committee, but over the years, how he destroys people. He sits up there like this is his room and I can say anything I want to say about anyone. He can put people down, and now that's been taken away from him. And I think that a lot of why he decided to throw in the towel was simply that. He doesn't have the power that he once had. He can't talk down to people like he's done for years and years and years and get away with it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, his ego is bigger than the Capitol. It's bigger than Pelosi and Boehner's offices combined. he really does absolutely believe strongly that he's the smartest man in the room. I mean, he is convinced of that. And like you said, he's so rude to people. He's demeaning and rude. And so in his retirement, he said he'll be more effective outside of politics in writing and reading. Well, I'm sure he thinks he's going to be, like, you know, giving big speeches and he'll be, you know, a big deal out there. I sincerely doubt it. And as you said, I don't think he'll be able to talk to people like he does. And it's probably driven him totally crazy this year. And he referenced that, is that the Republicans are trying, his biggest legacy is the Dodd-Frank bill, you know, regulating government, regulating the banking industry and Wall Street, and the Republicans have done everything they can to dismantle it. And most Republican presidential candidates say that they're going to repeal it as soon as they're in office.
Mm-hmm.
So that's driving him totally crazy, and he said he wanted to stay in to try to help stop that, and there's nothing he can do to stop that from happening, and he still thinks that's the greatest legislation in the history of Congress, despite the fact that nobody in Wall Street agrees and nobody in America agrees.
Yeah, he's kind of living in his own little fantasy world. You know, I was just thinking about something. You were talking about Nancy Pelosi having to vacate her office, and she's gone to the other side of that third floor, and she now looks at a parking lot instead of the view that she once had. How great of a feeling for John Boehner when you get to move in to an office like that? You know,
well, that's the funny thing about this is they just switched offices. Like, Pelosi's in what was Boehner's office, and Boehner's in what was Pelosi's office. They just switched. And sure, for Boehner, I mean, he went from the backside, kind of cramped, to the front side, you know, which is, like, so nice, and it's so beautiful. And for her to have to just walk by that every day.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's kind of driving
I mean,
nuts.
I can't imagine. I mean,
yeah.
It's one thing to lose the power, but just that office. And you also lose a lot of staff. Your office is a lot smaller. Your budget's a lot smaller. You don't meet with the visiting dignitaries as much. And just the thing is, remember, when this time last year, when the Republicans took over the House, everybody thought Pelosi was gone. I mean, she did oversee that loss. Yet she stayed. And I think the reason is, I'm sure, is that she thinks she'll be Speaker again. This is a short-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now that, I mean, not only talking about Dodd-Frank, the unpopularity of that, but their other stellar piece of legislation they passed was Obamacare, and now it's so unpopular. One poll Kaiser came out with yesterday said that in the past month, the amount of Democrats who have a favorable view of Obamacare has gone down 13%. And that's just a dramatic fall in 1 month. And, I mean, obviously that's a lot of it because they're watching Republican debates and hearing all the negativity about it and why it's happened so fast. But that's their prize goal. And the President of the United States, it's been noticed lately, he hasn't mentioned his prize health care bill in months. He does in private setting and, like, with his supporters, you know, his liberal supporters and donors and fundraisers. But if you put him out in the public, it's never mentioned. It's like it's forgotten. It's off the teleprompter.
Yeah.
So it just goes to, you know, like, Nancy Pelosi, I'm sure, is hanging in there in the back office thinking she's coming back, but it just looks like, both from legislation and polls and the fact that all her senior people are leaving, that the writing's on the wall and she's going to stay overlooking the parking lot for a while longer.
You know, it's really funny that the whole office thing down there drives me crazy because I worked with a former four-term congressman, Fred Grandy, from Iowa, and he told me that when he first came to Congress, he learned very quickly that there is indeed a pecking order. When you start, you know, when you're a freshman, you're going to live in a closet for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. And the longer you're there, the more you move up the ladder. So an office is really, a bigger office is a prized possession. So
it's one of the biggest days on the Hill. It's like freshman rush. It really is because it's done by year.
Yeah.
And it's a lobby within the class year. And the ones who get the higher bid, I was a press secretary on the Hill, and I remember my boss is just, I mean, you'd have mapped out all the buildings. You want to be close to get, your boss wants to be close to getting to the floor, whether it's running outside or going on the subways underneath.
Right.
But they also want to be near the committee room they're in. They also want a big office because some of the buildings are much smaller, and they want a view. So they map out, all of them do this. They map out every single possible, because they know which ones are available. They put them in order. Then they sit in their lottery, and they've got their list down. I mean, it is so important. I mean, it's bigger than prom. It's the biggest thing going on up there.
Yeah.
And they do it every 2 years. They get to switch. They start eyeballing other people's offices.
That's right.
So I'm sure every single solitary one of these people who's retiring, other people are coming in checking out their drapes and carpeting.
That's
to see
true.
They can move in.
It really is true. All right. Well, listen, a quick update. Anything on the gun? I know you're trying to get a gun in the District of Columbia.
Well, what I'm looking for now, and maybe if anyone's listening, they can tweet at me, at Emily Miller. I'm looking for someplace around D.C., whether Maryland or Virginia, that has a gun store with a range where I can rent guns to try to figure out which one I want. I'm having a little trouble finding that.
Okay.
So, because I want to try a bunch of guns before I start making this purchase, because one thing I've learned is whatever I purchase, I'm stuck with for life because you can't sell guns in D.C.
You can't resell. I got you.
So I want to try a bunch out. So if anybody knows, add Emily Miller or on Facebook, it's Emily Miller D.C. If you know of any place, let me know.
Okay. All right. Good luck.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Emily Miller, senior editor at the opinion pages here at the Washington Times.